Thank you, Lynn, and thank you, Chris, and hello, everyone. Welcome to the Seven Steps to Awakening. Tonight's seven-step sharing is going to be different and special in that it's going to last 2 hours instead of 1 hour. I am going to start in the same way that I always start, which is by playing a song. This song is by Toby Mack, and the name of the song, I think I got this song from Lynn Castaldo, if I remember correctly. I think she posted it in Facebook. The name of the song is Steal My Show. Thank you, Lynn, for introducing me to that song. I love it. So as I mentioned, tonight's going to be a little different. I am looking at quote 729 in the Seven Steps to Awakening, which says, remain in the pure, egoless state. And the purpose of this sharing tonight, it has one purpose only. And it is for letting go of ego. Some of you might have been at the members' meeting last week, and so you might know that the 2 weeks prior to last Sunday's members' meeting involved a bit of what I call conflict and drama within Awakening Together. And I addressed that in the members' meeting. When I addressed that in the members' meeting, I had an intention. And the intention was to only share what needed to be shared in order to bring clarity where there were rumors. When I was sharing, one of the things that I did was I was careful not to mention too many names. In fact, I didn't even mention Teddy's name, but he was there kind of waving his arms in the sanctuary saying, "That was me, I did that." So he gave himself away. But I was careful not to mention names, and there were probably a couple of reasons for that. I didn't want to extend the drama and the conflict. I didn't want to extend the rumors. I didn't want to extend people talking about each other in grievance-like ways. So there were really only two names that I mentioned. One name was Lynn, and the other name was Michael Langford. I sat down with Lynn in the hour before my Seven Steps teaching last week and went over everything I was going to say. So there were no surprises for her. So even though her name was mentioned, because it was unavoidable, there were no surprises for her in the meeting at all. I did not get together with Michael Langford and go over everything I was going to say. And his name was also mentioned. His name was mentioned because there were two emails that were a part of the conflict, drama, and rumors. And in fact, most of the people in the sanctuary who knew about what was going on, a big part of their talk was regarding the Michael Langford emails, as if the Michael Langford emails were somehow the core problem. And in fact, they were not. They came after. They came later in the story, and that's a part of what I was sharing, the dates and the order of everything that happened. I mentioned when I was talking about the Michael Langford emails that his first email to Lynn apparently said that Lynn had always been a bad sanctuary director. And regarding the second email, I made some kind of a comment that I was wordless, that I did not know what to say. Immediately following the meeting, or soon after, it may not have been 5 minutes, it may have been 2 hours, but soon after the meeting, I I received an email from Michael Langford. And I think what I'll do right now is read part of that email to you. He said, "Hi, Regina. What you shared at the special members meeting contained a lot of distortions." First thing I want to point out about Michael's emails is he does call Lynn the spiritual director when actually she is the sanctuary director. My first email to Lynn stated nothing about if Lynn was doing a good job as spiritual director of the Awakening Together room. My view of Lynn is that she has always done an excellent job of keeping things positive and keeping things flowing in a positive manner. I do not know who you will have as the spiritual director in the future. However, I cannot imagine anyone who can keep things flowing in as positive a manner as Lynn did. As far as admins, who 9 out of 10 do not enforce the etiquette policy, my first email to Lynn referred to admins. Lynn is not the only admin. Please reread my first email to Lynn. Instead of imagining what my first email to Lynn stated, please look the words up in the dictionary. What does what you stated that my first email apparently stated have to do with what my first email actually stated? How many people other than me were actually observing how many times the etiquette policy was enforced since it was introduced? Or was that not one of the things that most people focused on? What I wrote at the Infinite Awareness Group recently on July 6, 2016 is still true. Lynn is a sweetie pie. I like Lynn. There have been times in the past that Lynn has said something in the Awakening Together room that was so profound, I took notes. One example is Lynn has said, "It's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic." That has come up in various contexts, and here would be an example. To be trying to rearrange your mind instead of transcending your mind is like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. There are so many different lessons from that simple statement. One has to do with wasting your time in futile, trivial pursuits. Well, as I mentioned a moment ago, what I had said in the meeting was that Michael had sent an email to Lynn, which apparently said that she had always been a bad sanctuary director. After I received that email from Michael saying he did not say anything like that, I went back and I reread the email that he sent to Lynn. And indeed, he did not say anything like that. I perceive this as a very important lesson, not only for me, but for all of us. So immediately when I saw the mistake that I made, I wanted to come back here this Sunday and share the correction, not only because I unintentionally threw Michael under the bus when my intention was not to do that with anyone, but also because, again, it's a very, very important lesson. For what I had done to Michael, seeing something in his words that was not there. What I had done to Michael, people had done to me in the previous 2 weeks. And I'm not going to go into specific examples because I see that as completely unimportant, those specific examples. But in the 2 weeks that were prior to the meeting when this conflict and drama was occurring and there were lots and lots of emails, I saw emails in which people were saying that I said things that I not only never said, but sometimes I had said literally the exact opposite. I knew that the ego mind was seeing through filters of belief and expectation. And I never ever perceived the people who were writing that I had said things I hadn't said, or who were writing that I had said things and I had said the exact opposite. I never perceived those people as liars. I perceived them as being fooled by their own ego mind. You know, NTI Luke is very, very clear that we experience through the filter of our own mind, which means that often what we hear, what we read, what we think is distorted. I remember the first time in my life whenever I was shocked by a rumor. It's when I was around 20 years old, and I was in the military at the time. I was actually in technical training school, so this was prior to my first actual assignment. And while I was there, they thought that I might have cancer. There was a routine checkup, and they saw something and thought I might have cancer. And so they sent me to the hospital for a surgery, a biopsy. And in the military, at least back then, has these wonderful rules about if you have surgery, you automatically get, and I can't remember if it was 2 weeks, 4 weeks, or 6 weeks, but after surgery, you automatically get a certain amount of time of rest and recuperation. And actually, I recovered from my surgery. It was a minor surgery pretty quickly, within 24 or 48 hours. You know, I was fine. But I still got this mandatory recuperation time. So what I did was I went home. You know, I went home, hung out with my mom. And then after that mandatory recuperation time was over, I returned to my base. And when I returned to my base, I was shocked to find out that people thought I had had an affair with our first sergeant, become pregnant, and had left to have an abortion. And I remember thinking, where in the world did that come from? Did somebody just meanly make that up? And of course, to this day, I don't know the answer. But what I have observed of the ego mind since then is that it's possible that no one meanly made that up. It's possible they did, but it's possible they didn't. Because not only does the ego mind distort things, but the ego mind is not happy with gaps. It's not happy with what it doesn't know. And so what the ego mind does is it fills in what it doesn't know. Literally, it makes things up, but it makes things up in such a way that the person may not even notice that the mind is making things up. And it believes, the person believes what is made up as if it's true, and then tells the story as if it's true. So I saw some of that happening regarding me also in the 2 weeks prior to the member meeting. And so I was happy. Not happy in that, oh good, I made a mistake, but I was happy that Michael Langford wrote to me and showed me that I had done the same thing to him. I was happy that he pointed that out to me. And I wanted very much to come here and share this mistake with you, explain how it happened. Again, not only so that I could correct my error, but also so that you all would have the opportunity to learn from it, because this is so prevalent. It's so prevalent that the mind interprets and makes things up and we don't see it. So, to set the record straight regarding that first email, I went back and read it. And nowhere in that email does Michael say that Lynn is a bad sanctuary director. And I know Lynn had the same feelings. I know that her ego mind interpreted it in the same or similar way as my ego mind. But the fact that both of us saw something in an email that was not there does not mean that it was there. It just means that we both read the email through the filter of our minds. We both made the same mistake, and we both believed it. I also wrote to Michael and let him know that I would be holding a meeting to correct that mistake. And Michael wrote a document which he sent to me, and he asked me to read that document when I had this meeting to correct my mistake. He asked me to read the document. When I read the document, it was my opinion that there were some things that he said in the document that might re-trigger sensitivities that were involved in the two-week conflict and drama. And I did not want to re-trigger any sensitivities. I wanted to correct my error regarding the first email. But I did not want to reopen a wound. I felt like there was some closure that occurred in the last meeting, and I wanted to leave that as it was and move forward. Leave the past in the past and move forward. So I wrote to Michael and I asked him if I could edit his email. I thought that there would be a few things that I could take out and that would not reopen the sensitivities. I told him I would send the email to him for his approval, the document to him for his approval, and then read the edited one. But in the end, he decided no. He wanted the document read as he had written it. I still had concerns about reading the document as it was written. Lynn and Jacqueline and I form what is called the Leadership Subcommittee in Awakening Together. And we meet every Thursday and we talk about what's going on and you know, we pick out, you know, who we're going to contact for the mini-series and the satsangs and what things need to be communicated and all that kind of stuff, you know. So on Thursday when we had our Leadership Subcommittee meeting, I let them know what was going on, and I told them I wanted to read the document to them. What I felt like I was doing was checking my perception. If I read the document to Lynn and Jacqueline and they both thought, oh, the document's fine, then, it again, my perception was just wrong. But I wanted to check my perception of the document. So I read the document to Lynn and Jacqueline. First of all, some parts of this document speak very, very favorably of Lynn. And I'm going to read the entire document to you in a moment so you'll hear that. And Lynn was so touched by what Michael said about her in the document that she cried happy tears. Also, I think the end of the document, especially, touched Lynn, Jacqueline, and me to the point that we were even a little silent at the end, just touched with how he concluded the document. But in spite of these positive feelings, Lynn and Jacqueline also felt that it would not be helpful to read the entire document to everyone in Awakening Together. And again, our intentions were never to hide anything. We just didn't want to restart a conflict. We didn't want to restart rumors. We wanted to leave all of that in the past and move forward. So I wrote to Michael and I told him that Lynn and Jacqueline and I shared that opinion. And this is when I began to get several emails from Michael. At first, there were several emails that were sent directly to me. And that was followed by several emails that were sent to a very small group of people called the Infinite Awareness Group, which I'm a member of. And in the Infinite Awareness Group, Michael was not directly addressing me. He was addressing the whole group. But I could see a definite connection between some of those sharings and what was happening through my choice not to share a document that he had asked me to share. When I first started receiving the emails from Michael, my honest feeling was that he just wanted his way. And I felt very similar to the way I had in the previous 2 weeks when there were lots of emails with the conflict. I just kind of felt to be still, to take nothing personally, to be unaffected, to watch, to rest, to trust. But then a thing happened that, to me, it's a little funny now, but I don't know how it will hit you because I've had more time with it. In one of the emails that he sent to me, he called me immoral. And that was a little bit funny. And the reason that was a little bit funny is because throughout all of this last few weeks when things have been a little more rocky, the thing I have been doing my best to do was to be perfectly ethical, or you could say perfectly moral, to judge no one, to, no matter what someone said it to me in email, not to do any angry emails back, right, not to become a part of the conflict. just to be in my right mind. Bye, Chris. To be in my right mind, So I decided to do what Michael often recommends, and that is look the word up in the dictionary. You know, he was calling me immoral. I thought I would look the word up in the dictionary. You know, what exactly does immoral mean? And I used my online dictionary, and it says, not conforming to accepted standards of morality. Not conforming to accepted standards of morality. So I clicked on morality just to go ahead and get a definition of that. And it said principles concerning the distinction between right and wrong or good and bad behavior. So immoral would mean I wasn't principled concerning the distinction between right and wrong and good and bad behavior. And the funny thing was, that's exactly what I had been trying to do this whole time. Even though I made a mistake, in misreading an email, just ever since the very first sign of this conflict back when I was on vacation, I had been trying to stay in the right mind rather than to go into the wrong mind and become a part of the conflict. And Michael gave his reason for why he thought that I was immoral, which means not following the principles of right and wrong. And that is because I would not share the document that he wanted shared, even though I had used his name in the previous meeting, and what I had shared really wasn't correct. And so now he wanted to share this document, which would tell all of you exactly what his thoughts were. And I was deciding, along with my friends, but I was deciding that wasn't a good idea. And this is what he was calling immoral, that I was not following the standards of right and wrong, that the right thing to do in this circumstance would be to share this document exactly as he had written it with no edits. Now, I actually found this fascinating. Fascinating that my point of view was the moral thing to do was to not read the document. That somehow I was protecting everyone from maybe another round of conflict. And I had two friends who agreed with me. You know, there was nothing, it's not like I was trying to go against my ideas of right. I was trying to follow my ideas of right. But now, here, Michael had a different definition of right in this circumstance. And I found that fascinating. And this was probably the beginning of a turning point for me in this entire situation about the document. Michael continued to send emails, and now mostly the emails shifted to where they were posts to the Infinite Awareness Group. And in fact, let me just read a little bit. I'm not going to read all of it. There were several. I'm not leaving anything out on purpose. I want to give you a good feel for what these emails said. Let me see. I have them all saved. I save everything just about that Michael writes. There are a few things I don't save, but almost everything. So it will just take me a moment to find and open. Okay, some of the posts that he shared were talking about Vernon Howard. I don't know if you all know Vernon Howard, but Vernon Howard is a teacher that Michael went to when he was younger. And Lynn sometimes plays Vernon Howard here in the sanctuary. Vernon Howard is a very good teacher. His style is very different in that, he's not the loving, kind, sweet, peaceful teacher, right? he has a more aggressive style. Sometimes he even appears to be insulting the people that are in the room listening to him, right? So with that said, let me read some of what Michael wrote. Michael also refers to the younger Michael prior to awakening as M the Seeker. So Michael says, one time when M. the Seeker went to Vernon Howard's class, he saw a huge sign above Vernon Howard's head. The letters were also huge and in all caps. This is what the sign said. If you know more than the teacher, what are you doing in this class? Now remember that the situation is, of course, that I have decided, along with my friends, but that I have decided not to share a document he's asked me to share. And so then there's this post, if you know more than the teacher, what are you doing in this class? He also shared another another way of stating this, if you think you have a better way than the teacher, why not drop that teacher and forget about that teacher's teachings? Michael wrote, go ahead and follow what your ego is telling you. Let the ego pretend to be intuition or inner guidance or the Holy Spirit or the true self. Follow the better way that you think you know and let it lead you further into samsara, which will ultimately turn out to be a repetitive hell. If that is the choice you want to make, and it is a choice, go ahead and continue to do what you feel to do, and let those feelings guide you further into samsara, which will turn out to be a repetitive hell. If that is the choice you want to make, and it is a choice. Many students have an almost unlimited arrogance. He also wrote in another post, another time when M. the Seeker went to Vernon Howard's class, he saw another huge sign above Vernon Howard's head. This sign also had huge letters with all caps. This is what the sign said. Every person who leaves this class raises the level of this class. Now, some people might expect that when I read these posts, I felt attacked. It's not true. Although the mind may not understand this, what I felt was loved. I felt deeply loved. And it's not anything that I can explain to a mind. I felt like Michael was going to great lengths to help me see my own ego and let go of it. And it felt like love. One moment, Jamie wants in.
Come, are you coming?
Come on,
I'm going to close the door again. Come here.
All right. There was another post to this group, the Infinite Awareness Group, which I read this morning, and again, I'll read part of it, not all of it, not because I'm intending to hide anything. I want to give you a full flavor of the post, but it's a very long post. So let me open it up, and I'll share it with you. The name of this post is How to Relate to the Sat Guru. First of all, Michael started by saying, and again, this was to an entire group, not just to me. Some of you may wonder why I created that video titled, It Was Always You, Bhagavan. And why did I create that Ramana Maharshi music playlist? After all, after Manonasa, I am only the same self that Ramana Maharshi is. What follows are teachings about relations to the Sat Guru from the tradition of Ramana Maharshi. After reading these teachings, maybe you will understand why I created the It Was Always You, Bhagavan video and the Ramana Maharshi music playlist long after I attained Manonasa. If you suspect I am giving this information to you because I want you to bow at my feet, let me correct you. I will probably never in this lifetime allow a spiritual student to meet with me again. I will say he did say probably never. He did not say absolutely never. So maybe he will. If he does, he will not be going against his own word. I will probably never in this lifetime allow a spiritual student to meet with me again. If I wanted people to bow at my feet, etc., 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 I would have a satsang where people could do that. I will probably never meet with a student ever again in this lifetime. So, no, that is not why I'm giving you this information. However, the attitude of arrogance always has bad consequences for the spiritual student. Maybe reading these teachings from the Ramana Maharshi tradition will help you never to have an attitude of arrogance towards your Satguru. Other people are writing all of the information, all of the following. I am not the author of anything that follows. So there's a lot here, but it seems like there was one part that really jumped out at me, so let me see if I can find that. I'm just going to start right here. I'm not sure if this is the part, but I'm going to start right here. This is a question to Annamalai Swami. Question: is the relationship between the guru and the disciple a real relationship or a Maya relationship? If it is a Maya relationship, how can it help us to transcend Maya? Annamalai Swami's answer: Bhagavan used to give, as an example, the story of an elephant that dreamed it was being attacked by a lion. The shock of seeing the lion in the dream was sufficient to wake the elephant up. The guru, according to Bhagavan, is the roaring lion who appears in our Maya dream and shocks us so much that we wake up into, I'm not sure how to say this word, I'm going to say Yanana. It's J-N-A-N-A, and I believe it means enlightenment. The guru, according to Bhagavan, is the roaring lion who appears in our Maya dream and shocks us so much that we wake up into Yanana. While the dream is in progress, the lion is very real for us. But when we wake up, there is no lion and no dream. In the state of Yanana, we become aware that there was no guru and no disciple. There is only the self. But we should not have that attitude prior to realization. While we are still trapped by Maya, we must accept the guru-disciple relationship as being real, because this relationship provides the only way of transcending all the wrong ideas we have about ourselves. Even though we may know intellectually that all is one, we should revere the form of the guru, because it is only through his grace that our ignorance can be dissolved. We should respect the guru and his teachings at all times. We cannot do this if we start treating him as an ordinary person who is no different from any other manifestation of the self. Respect for the guru and faith in his teachings are essential for all who want to make progress. Yes, that is the part I wanted to find and read. And one part of that that really jumped out at me was, we cannot do this if we start treating him as an ordinary person who is no different from any other manifestation of the self. And what I saw was that when I felt that I knew what part of Michael's document should not be read because it may reopen conflict, I was treating Michael as an ordinary person. And in this case, I knew better than him. One thing I want to say again, and this is very difficult to share because it was an experience, and you can't really share an experience with words. I'm sure there are all kinds of ideas that the mind could have about these posts that I have read to you, or at least the portions I have read to you, as well as the other posts. You know, for example, the mind might say that Michael was being arrogant. Again, when I first started this process, when I had the first couple of emails, I thought he was just trying to get his way. But as I read these emails, they kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. The experience was love. I felt like I was in a bubble of love. In fact, it came to the point that it felt like I have never been so loved before. And actually, my mind was not, even though I said I know the mind could see this, my mind was not harshly judging his words or his posts. It simply wasn't. The mind was relatively quiet, and the love was relatively loud. And so, even though my initial feeling was not to share what I'm about to share, what Michael has written to you, I'm going to share it anyway. I'm going to share it because of that love that I felt. I'm going to share it because, well, let me tell you something else. In the few weeks prior to all of this apparent conflict breaking out, I have been praying a prayer, maybe more than a few weeks, maybe it would be fairer to say a few months, but with regular consistency, I have been praying a prayer. And the prayer has been that I just want to know truth as a direct experience. And again, I say I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. I don't want truth to meet my requirements for what it's supposed to be. I don't want it to be an imagined truth that satisfies me. I just want to know truth as a direct experience. That's it. That's all. Nothing else. I ask nothing else. And so, as I pray this prayer, all of this that has happened in the last few weeks, first the conflict with Awakening Together, and then this week with the emails with Michael Langford, all of this happened. And I don't know what you all know about my particular life, but it is generally quite peaceful and quite easy. And so these upheavals of the last 3 weeks have been the most tumultuous time in maybe 8 years. And so I haven't doubted that everything that is occurring is related to my prayer. And in fact, my prayer would be that in everything that is occurring, that as much ego as possible be stripped away, stripped away, stripped away. And if it can be stripped away in its entirety, then so be it. So the love that I felt, it was wordless. There was no language in it. It was not speaking to me. But the love that I felt was communicating to me that this is what was happening. You want out again, Jamie? There you go. Again, there are several things that I have seen in the last few weeks that we can call ego tricks that I was not seeing before. One was what I call imagination. It's the ego filling in the gaps. One thing that I have lost interest in to a great degree is imagination. I've seen people use imagination on me, and I saw that I used imagination on Michael Langford, and I saw that there is nothing useful in that type of imagination. Maybe it's okay to imagine when you're painting a painting or writing a song, you know, the creative imagination, but nothing helpful in that ego imagination. And so I have lost interest in imagination, and those who are very, very close to me, if they pay attention, they will see that, because most people speak from imagination frequently. without even seeing it. And I now will say, I don't want to get into that. That's imagination. I won't join them. So that's one of the things that has really been revealed to me in the last few weeks, and I'm very grateful for that. Another thing that has been revealed for me in the last few weeks, in the last week, in the last few days, that I'm really grateful for, is this idea of moral and immoral, and how a person can try with the highest of intentions to be completely ethical and can be completely moral, and another person can have the exact opposite idea of what is ethical or moral in the same circumstance. And that has shaken me up in a way that I don't know if I can even put into words yet. And so I guess I won't. Another thing that has fallen away a lot in the last few weeks has been the future as an idea. In the last few weeks, things have sometimes changed very, very, very quickly. What looked like the future in 1 minute, and even if others agreed, okay, this is what we're going to do, right? It looked like the future in 1 minute, and the next minute something happened that completely ripped the rug out from under that, and suddenly there was no future again. And this has happened so many times in the last few weeks that I have come to see that I have no idea about the future, and in fact, any time that I thought I did, it was only ideas. I even had an experience a couple of mornings ago when I was driving to the lake to walk Jamie. Although intellectually I know that the road is there in front of me, there was just this strong feeling that only this moment was certain, and that I didn't even know if the road would be there on the other side of the hill. Just this strong sense that there was any idea that I could hold about the future was only an idea. So I'm really grateful for everything that I have seen in what has occurred. And it's funny because many years ago, in what I often call my purification phase, many, many things did legitimately fall away. And I know that they legitimately fell away because they haven't come back. And I see that other people still carry them and that I don't carry them. So that's easy to see. But now, it's feeling like there's another level of seeing and letting go and falling away that is ready to happen. And it may not always be easy. But I feel eager excitement after all. That's why we're here. But there's something else I want to say. I want very much to see the ego tricks here in my mind, see through them, let go of them, etc. But I have no intention of abandoning my own inner guidance. I would never, ever ask anyone else to do that, and I will not do it myself. The There's something called the Johari window, however, and I don't know if you guys know about the Johari window. Let me quickly look that up on the internet so I can tell you about it accurately. It's something I studied in college, and I think I remember it well, but let me just look it up real quick. The Johari window has four panes. Yes. Okay, here is the Johari window with its four panes. One is called the open or the arena pane. And that is the area of the person or the personality that both you and others are aware of. So we would be in agreement that this is true about Regina, the things that are in the open or the arena pane, if we're talking about Regina. There's also the hidden or the facade pane. This would be things that I know about myself that I do not let you see. So it's known to me and it's not known to you. There is the blind spot pane. That's the area of the personality or the mind that I do not know about, but you do. You can see it in me, but I cannot see it. And then there's the unknown pane of the Johari window. And that is the things that are true about this personality that neither I know nor you know. It's not recognized by anyone who is participating. You could call it collective ignorance. So again, the four parts of the Johari window are the open or the arena. Both you and I know that about me. The hidden or the facade, I know it, but I hide it from you and I'm successful. You don't know it. The blind spot, I don't know it. I've hidden it from myself, but you guys can all see it, or at least some of you can see it. And then the unknown, neither I nor you know it. The reason I brought up the Johari window, oh, how do you spell it? Johari, Johari. The reason I brought up the Johari window is because I feel that some of what was unknown to me is now known as a result of my interactions with Michael over the last few weeks. And I find that useful. I do not feel like I am abandoning my inner intuition or guidance or whatever you want to call it. I feel like I'm getting some outside assistance in what I want most of all, which is to see the ego's tricks, to completely let go of or transcend the ego, ego death, whatever words you want to use. And to know truth as a direct experience. I'm a little bit tired of reading about truth, hearing about truth, talking about truth, not really knowing it. And I'm willing to accept whatever help the universe will give me in awakening. So let me do what I've been saying for an hour I would do, and that is read the document that Michael wrote to you all. And then after I do that, I still have a little more that I need to do at his request. All right. This is the document to you from Michael Langford. Again, and throughout this document, he calls Lynn the spiritual director. It's actually sanctuary director. By the way, he asked me to read the document without changing one word, so I will still read spiritual director. And he also asked me to read the document without commenting on it, so I will do that as well. I will simply read the document. Let me have a drink of water first. What was shared at the July 31st, 2016 members' meeting was full of distortions. I hope that what I am writing today will be read in its entirety to the people in the Awakening Together room. If you are not going to read every word of this document just as it is written, then please do not read any of it. I did not send an email to Lynn that stated that Lynn was a bad spiritual director. I am going to go into detail now regarding what my views about Lynn are. Making sure that the etiquette policy is being followed is only one of the jobs for a spiritual director. There are many other duties. If we leave aside the question of what percentage of the time no action was taken in the Awakening Together room when the etiquette policy was being violated, from the time the etiquette policy was introduced through June of 2016, and focus on all of the other duties that a spiritual director has to perform, my view of Lynn is that Lynn kept things flowing in a positive way that was so positive that I do not believe any future spiritual director will ever be able to come close to the positive energy that Lynn generated. I have always looked forward to hearing Lynn speak, because hearing Lynn speak is a positive experience like no other. I have heard many other people try to keep things flowing, and I have never looked forward to hearing any of them. Once I was no longer anonymous in the Awakening Together room, when I entered the room, if I saw Lynn, the first thing I did was to put the heart symbol on the board with only one word, Lynn. I have always done that as my first action in Awakening Together. There are many other people who I know, and I see their Nick is in the room. Nick, I think he means nickname. And I see their Nick is in the room. However, I do not type hearts to all of them. When I entered the room, that is always the first thing I typed if I saw Sweet Dreams was there. I put a heart and the word Lynn. That should give you some idea of how fond of Lynn I am. That has not changed. I am typing this on Wednesday, August 3rd, 2016, and I am just as fond of Lynn right now as I have always been. Nothing that has transpired has changed how I feel about Lynn. There are 28 members of the Infinite Awareness Group. They are people whose primary spiritual path is one or more of the books I have published. I invited all of those people because it is a by-invitation-only group. On July 6, 2016, I sent the following message to all of the members of the Infinite Awareness Group. Lynn is a sweetie pie. I like Lynn. There have been times in the past that Lynn has said something in the Awakening Together room that was so profound I took notes. One example is, Lynn has said it's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. That has come up in various contexts, and here would be an example. To be trying to rearrange your mind instead of transcending your mind is like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. There are many different lessons from that simple statement. One has to do with wasting your time in futile, trivial pursuits. What I wrote on July 6, 2016 is still true today. Lynn is still a sweetie pie. I still look forward to hearing Lynn's voice on Awakening Together Radio. None of the recent events has changed any of that for me. I want to return now to the subject of the first email I sent to Lynn. Lynn sent me an email on July 5, 2016. The subject of the email was that Lynn thought that Jay thought that I was offended by the things Teddy was typing on the board. The question of should Teddy have been red-dotted was mentioned in Lynn's email. I did not reply to Lynn's email for many reasons. Number one, the Michael Langford Study Group is Jay's group. It is up to Jay, the admins, and others at Awakening Together if people will be allowed to type one sentence after the other on and on that violate the etiquette policy. It is not up to me. Number two, the only people I am interested in having any back and forth email communication with are members of the Infinite Awareness group. Lynn sent me another email 2 weeks later on July 19th. In that email, Lynn wrote, "I wish I could talk to you." Lynn and I always had a good history in our communication in the Awakening Together room. Lynn was not a stranger to me. It did not seem right for me to reply to her second email. It did not seem right for me not to reply to her second email, especially since she wrote, "I wish I could talk to you." Therefore, I sent the first email to Lynn. That first email to Lynn was very large. I printed it on paper in order to reread it, and it totaled 5 pages. I typed the name Lynn at the beginning of the email. "Hi, Lynn." I typed the name Lynn in this sentence at the end of the email. "You do not need to reply to this email, Lynn." I did not forget how to type Lynn in the email. Most of the contents of the email were not specifically being directed to Lynn. There were a small number of sentences in the email that were specifically being directed to Lynn. The email never stated that Lynn had been a bad spiritual director. That was something that Lynn and Regina's imagination created. I'm including Regina in that because of what Regina said during the members' meeting that she thought my email apparently stated. That is what happens when people read an email and allow thought, imagination, and interpretation to enter instead of just staying with the dictionary meaning of the words. That is what most humans do, and therefore, that is what most of you listening do. That is also what most of you do when you read a spiritual teaching. Your imagination and thoughts add an interpretation. The first email I sent to Lynn did not state that she had ruined the sanctuary. Lynn's imagination created that idea of her having ruined the sanctuary. I have made it very clear in this document of what my view of Lynn is regarding keeping things flowing in a positive manner in the Awakening Together room. She has a positive energy that is so positive, I do not think anyone else will ever come close to it. During the members' meeting, Lynn's statement regarding my first email to her was filled with Lynn's imagination. She stated that it was her view that it was an email from someone who thought they knew something but was misinformed. That is 100% false. The first thing most of you do not realize is the amount of time I have spent in the Awakening Together room under various nicknames. I visited the ACIM room before it was changed to the Awakening Together room. I was in the Awakening Together room soon after the etiquette policy was introduced. I have observed what has been happening in the Awakening Together room from the time the etiquette policy was introduced through June of 2016. When the etiquette policy was first introduced, people were paying attention to it because it was new. However, very quickly, people's attention turned to other things. The primary focus of most people's attention through June of 2016 has not been this question. What percentage of the time does an admin take an action when the etiquette policy is being violated? That question has been the primary focus of my attention from the time the etiquette policy was introduced through June of 2016. If that question had not been the primary focus of a person's attention every time they go to the Awakening Together room, then their opinion as to the answer to that question has no validity. If that question is your primary focus, then you are keeping track of how often an action is being taken when the etiquette policy is being violated. 9 times out of 10, no action was taken when someone violated the etiquette policy. You might have the thought, maybe the action taken was done in private message. Then the question is, why, when the violations continued, was there no further action taken? I have read the etiquette policy dozens of times, therefore I am not misinformed. To be misinformed, I would have to be relying on someone else's view of what the etiquette policy states. I am not misinformed about what percentage of the time an action is taken when the etiquette policy was being violated, because my information comes from what I have observed in the Awakening Together room, with the primary focus of my attention being on that question. Obviously, most of the people who attend the Awakening Together room have not had as their primary focus of attention the question, what percentage of the time is an action taken when someone violates the etiquette policy? However, one can ask, what about the admins? Has that question been the primary focus of attention for the admins? I do not know for sure one way or the other about that. What I do know for sure is that 9 times out of 10, the admins have taken no action when the etiquette policy has been violated. Whoever is reading this, be sure that the people know I have the letter S at the end of the word admins. I am not only referring to Lynn. There are many other admins at Awakening Together. I am referring to all of the admins at Awakening Together. I have spent hundreds of hours in every room listed under religion and spirituality. What goes on in those rooms is very cruel. Admins usually do nothing, no matter how cruel people are. The Awakening Together room has less verbal cruelty than any other room listed under religion and spirituality. People stay on topic more often in the Awakening Together room than any other room listed under religion and spirituality. However, that is not saying much. It is like saying in the hell called Pal Talk, the temperature is 1,000 degrees in the other rooms listed under religion and spirituality. The temperature is only 500 degrees in the Awakening Together room. Now on to the subject of the second email to Lynn. If other people had not sent an email to me that made me aware that other people were seeing what I was seeing, I would never have sent that second email to Lynn. The other people made it clear that they were not going to communicate the observation to Lynn because they believed Lynn's mind would just distort it. It brought tears to my eyes when I realized that no one was going to communicate this to Lynn. I decided to be the type of kind, caring, compassionate friend who does make that communication. I thought the chances of Lynn's mind allowing Lynn to see the truth of that email would be like 1,000,000 to 1 odds. However, I think a kind, caring, compassionate friend will make that communication just in case it does get through. Only a psychiatrist is qualified to make a diagnosis of mental illness. Having an opinion that someone is mentally ill is not a diagnosis. If Lynn had seen a psychiatrist, one possibility is that the psychiatrist would have told Lynn, you are not mentally ill. You are fine and there is nothing I can do for you. You were just having some temporary stress, and that is what was causing your erratic behavior. Then that would be great news for all of us to find out we were not correct in our observation. That would be the best possible news. Then Lynn would be out the money of that one visit to the psychiatrist costs, because I live in poverty and could not help with that. I have never accepted any money from one of my spiritual students. Living in poverty is not too high a price to pay to make sure people know that my teachings are for the purpose of helping people, not for the purpose of making money. On the other hand, let us suppose that Lynn had seen a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist diagnosed Lynn with a mental illness, and the psychiatrist had lots of ways to help Lynn. Then one can see that hoping that Lynn would see a psychiatrist was an act of love from a friend. Is there any human being who does not have any mental illness? A few years ago, the American Psychological Association decided to make caffeine an addiction. Who can even keep track of how many new things the APA has found that they think means there is something wrong with us psychologically? I am going to continue drinking my green tea every day. I drink it because I like the caffeine. If the APA does not like that, I don't care. I will continue to drink green tea. I have removed PalTalk from my computer. I will never log into PalTalk or PalTalk Express again for all of eternity. The reason for that has nothing to do with anything that happened at Awakening Together. The reason has to do with what I observed during those hundreds of hours I spent in the other rooms listed under religion and spirituality. I explained the reason I will never log into PalTalk again in great detail at the Infinite Awareness Group. One reason I went into detail is I thought that people might think the reason had something to do with what Teddy was typing on the board during the Michael Langford study group. The reason I will never log into PalTalk or PalTalk Express again has nothing to do with Teddy. On to the subject of Teddy. I hope that Teddy continues to be a part of Awakening Together. If, upon rare occasions, Teddy is temporarily red-dotted, I think Teddy can handle that, and the red dot will probably be gone the next day, and Teddy can continue to share. Teddy might even wear the red dot as a badge of honor. M. the Seeker spent 1 month with Swami Muktananda. Muktananda always had a red dot on his forward, but I do think that's supposed to say forehead. Muktananda always had a red dot on his forehead. For Muktananda, the red dot was a good thing. So if Teddy gets temporarily red dotted, he can wear that red dot as a badge of honor. I am not new to what Teddy types on the board. Because people do not realize how much time I have spent in the Awakening Together room, they imagine I do not know what is going on. Under various nicknames, I have spent a lot of time in the Awakening Together room in the mornings. I have spent a lot of time in the Awakening Together room in the afternoons. I have spent a lot of time in the Awakening Together room in the evenings. A long time ago, more than a year ago, I was in the Awakening Together room and typing various things on the board. Teddy typed a counter-argument to everything I was typing. What Teddy types is not new to me. I have seen far worse things typed on the board at the other rooms listed under spirituality than anything I have ever seen Teddy type. Someone sent me an email stating they think that if Teddy was red-dotted, he would act up even more. I think maybe you underestimate Teddy. If Teddy was going to act up even more because he had been red-dotted, because he had violated the etiquette policy, then that sort of spiritual immaturity would indicate that all of the spiritual teachings that Teddy has studied and practiced so far have helped the ego to flourish. I think you underestimate Teddy. I think Teddy can handle being red-dotted temporarily, and like Swami Muktananda, he will wear his red dot as a symbol of joy. Teddy's good points definitely outweigh his bad points. That is why I hope that Teddy continues to attend the Awakening Together room. Regina told me that there had been a vote about who would people most like to see as a retreat leader. I think Regina came in first place, and Michael Langford came in second place. That is because people do not understand the purpose of my teachings. If people at Awakening Together really understood the purpose of my teachings, their ego would not allow them to have a desire to meet me. The purpose of my teachings is the opposite of the purpose of other teachings being studied at Awakening Together. A teaching that claims to be for the purpose of reducing or ending the ego is completely different from a teaching that actually is for the purpose of reducing or ending the ego. A teaching that people believe is for the purpose of ending or reducing the ego is completely different from a teaching that actually is for the purpose of reducing or ending the ego. Some people had some concern that my YouTube playlist titled A New Vision for the Awakening Together Room might lead people to think that Awakening Together was an organization of bullies. That would indicate that people missed one of the most important points that those bullying videos were pointing out. That point is that bullies are not the only problem with bullying. The people who allow the bullying to go on and do not say anything are just as much contributing to the bullying as the bully's contribution. I have changed the name of that playlist to A New Vision for Humanity. Therefore, there is no longer any association between that playlist and Awakening Together. I was planning on doing that anyway. However, I speeded up the name change because Regina had told me about some people's concerns. On to the subject of Awakening Together. I will not be sending any suggestions to Regina about the Awakening Together room. The future of the Awakening Together room should be decided by its members, its ministers, and its board. Regarding the Awakening Together church, I have told Regina many times that I wish it continued success. I hope that people will continue to support Awakening Together by, 1, making financial donations, 2, attending the Awakening Together room. I hope that Awakening Together has a bright future. All of you who are listening to this can make sure that Awakening Together does have a bright future. I hope that Awakening Together over time will evolve into something that is even more truthful, pure, kind, courteous, loving, and caring than it is now. I hope that someday the ego will allow many people to see the difference between teachings that claim to be for the purpose of reducing or ending the ego, and teachings that actually are for the purpose of ending the ego. I hope that someday the ego will allow many people to see the difference between teachings that are filled with distractions, detours, and what Ramana Maharshi calls the reflection of the foolish thoughts of those who come before the sage, and teachings in which the distractions, detours, and reflections of the foolish thoughts of those who come before the sage have been removed. I hope that someday the ego will allow more people to see how ineffective most spiritual teachings are. Take care. With love, Michael. So that was his email to you all. I noticed Lynn made a lot of comments, but I guess he did not ask Lynn not to comment. So, that's okay. Lynn is saying he does not know A Course in Miracles. I actually think he does know A Course in Miracles, at least some. I've seen him post quotes from A Course in Miracles. You know, there are two ways to hear that communication, I would say. One is through the ego and one is without. I'm reminded of something Byron Katie said once about when you're criticized, how the best thing to do is listen to see if there's any truth in the criticism. In order to do that, of course, the ego has to be completely out of the way. He has asked me to also share another piece that he did not put in that message, but to him it was an addition to that message. This is about Lynn. By the way, Lynn knew I was going to read this document today. Again, there are no surprises here for Lynn. or at least she knew that I might. Let's put it that way. I had asked her and Jacqueline about my reading the document, and they both did not care which way that went, whether I read the document or whether I didn't. So she knew that it might be read. I don't know that I actually told her that it would be. I don't remember. All right, so here is what Michael wants added to the document I just read. If you will be reading the AT document, then I guess the email I just sent you about Lynn is not necessary. He had sent me an email saying, if you're not going to read the document, will you at least share all of these nice things that I said about Lynn? And he had put them in an email, but all of those nice things are in the document. So that's what he means when he says, if you're going to read the document, then I guess the email I just sent you about Lynn is not necessary, because you've already heard that. The one thing I think you will not find in the document on the link is this. So here's what he wants to add. I hope that when Lynn is no longer the spiritual director, that she will continue to attend the ACIM presentations in the Awakening Together room. I also hope that Lynn continues to be one of the regularly scheduled ACIM presenters in the Awakening Together room. The Awakening Together room will be a far better place with Lynn's positive energy than it would be without Lynn's positive energy. Take care with love, Michael. So that's what he wanted added. And in fact, as you all know, I am creating the new schedule that will take effect on September 1, and Lynn is on the schedule teaching from A Course in Miracles. All right, there's a little more. This is an email I received today at 3:34 p.m. my time, which is about an hour and 26 minutes before this special seven steps teaching began. He said, these are the three most important things to me. These are the things that he wanted shared tonight. Number one, tell the people that what you said in the special members meeting on 7/31/16 about having no idea about Michael's second email to Lynn was not true. Tell them you had an email that Michael had forwarded to you wherein two people at Awakening Together that you are very familiar with expressed the same view that Michael had about Lynn. You do not need to name those two people. It is probably best that they remain anonymous, no matter how much some people might like you to name them. All right, so the first email that Michael wrote to Lynn was again the email where he talked about 9 times out of 10 when there has been an etiquette violation in Awakening Together, the admins did nothing. And that was the one where Lynn and I both misinterpreted, thinking that he was saying Lynn was a bad sanctuary director. Or Lynn misinterpreted it, thinking that he was saying she had ruined the Awakening Together sanctuary, and he said neither of those things. The second email that we are about to talk about a little bit is the one where he wrote to Lynn saying that 5 people felt that she was mentally ill. I think I read the exact words to you from that last week. I don't have them with me now, but it was like 3 people had thought that she had had a mental illness, and 2 people thought that she had recently acquired a mental illness, if I've got those, the 3 and the 2 in the right place. And what I said in the meeting last week was something like, I have no words. I don't know what to say about that. My expression that I have no words, I don't know what to say about that, is still my overall feeling about the entire situation. I have no words from my own personal perspective because the entire thing to me is somewhat shocking. And sometimes when you're in shock, you have no words, right? However, what Michael is referring to when he says that those words were not true was the fact that I did have some knowledge that I did not share publicly. I had shared it with Lynn privately. And that was that I knew the names of two of the five people. And the reason I knew the names of two of the five people is that one person wrote an email to Michael talking about how this person felt that Lynn was mentally ill, and in that email mentioned the name of another person who, on that person's own, without being influenced, also felt that Lynn was mentally ill. One said something about a chemical imbalance, and the other one used slightly different words. When this person sent that email to Michael, Michael forwarded the email to me. I read the email, and my immediate response to the email was to go take a walk. Sometimes that's what I do. You know, when something like that happens, which again is shocking, and I did not know how to respond, I did not know what to do, I went and took a walk. When I came back from taking a walk, during the time that I was taking the walk, Michael had written the email to Lynn saying that five people who cared about her, who loved her, thought that she was mentally ill. A part of me has always been sorry that I took that walk. But I did. Of course, you never know what's going to occur, right? Like I told you, things have been changing so fast lately. The reason I know that Michael sent that email to Lynn while I was out taking the walk is because shortly after I got back from the walk, I opened my email and there was an email from Lynn wanting to know if I and Jacqueline, she sent it to me and Jacqueline, if we were two of the people, two of the five. And this is when I said I wrote an email to Michael and told him I could not support that. And I still don't support. However, people will have their opinions. I am a person. I do understand Michael on this because I am a person who has told friends in the past that I thought they should see a psychiatrist. And that was very genuine and very loving, and it's when people were suffering to a great degree because of their mind. They were coming to me as a spiritual teacher hoping that I could help them. And I could see that that what was occurring with them was more serious, and I felt that the best thing for them was to go and see a psychiatrist. So I have told people that before out of love. So I know what it's like. You know, I don't want to say anything about you know, what Michael, I mean, Michael did say he had tears in his eyes and he felt he wanted to tell her this. He had tears in his eyes and he knew no one was going to tell. I have never personally perceive Lynn as mentally ill. That's what I have to say. But Lynn knew that I knew the names of two of these people, and she knew that I would not tell her. So, although I did not reveal that in the public meeting, Lynn knew that. I do not know who the other three people are. But Jacqueline is typing for clarity. I was not one of the five. Yeah. This is one of the reasons I did not want to share Michael's document. I didn't want to reopen these wounds. But it's all right. It's all right. It's all right because we are all here to let go of the ego. And what we have before us now is a choice. Each of us has a choice in how we choose to perceive this. I will tell you that when this actually happened, again, I was in the center because I was receiving the emails from both sides, right? So when this actually happened, I will tell you the lesson that I learned. Never to say again something that I would not want everyone to hear. I think that if I revealed the names of the two people that I know of who said that Lynn was mentally ill, they would not be happy because they did not ever intend for that to become public knowledge, that they said that. That was said in secret, right? Out of eyeshot of everyone else. But I saw how it hurt someone. And so I chose to never again say something that if it got out and everybody heard it, I could not say, yes, I said that. And you know what? We are all adults here. We're not little kids. We're adults. We can all learn this lesson together. We really can. Again, isn't that what we're here for? To let go of these types of things? Let's see. The other thing that Michael said he wanted me to do, number two, in tonight's meeting, he said something you could do for the sake of honesty, and I already did this, is tell people at Awakening Together that Michael responded to what is said at the special members meeting by writing a document and then creating a link to that document. Tell them also that Regina, Lynn, and Jacqueline agreed unanimously that the document should not be shared with the people at Awakening Together. Let them know that in Michael's view, the decision by Regina not to allow her teacher to speak for himself is deceptive, dishonest, and immoral. It is Michael's view that whatever is said in the sharing tonight will not change the fact that a deceptive, dishonest, immoral decision was made. And of course, I told you all how that occurred between the meeting that Jacqueline and Lynn and I had. And then, of course, I went ahead and read the document. So I think that item two has been fully addressed. And then number three. I sent you a list of all of the positive things about Lynn, including the fact that I hope Lynn will continue to attend ACIM presentations, etc. I would like you to read everything on that list, except for the last lines, which have nothing to do with Lynn. If I can find it quickly, I will send it to you again, this time without those last lines. I have told you the three most important things to me in this email. And I think I also shared with you all ago that he said I did not need to read the email that said all of the nice things about Lynn if I was going to read the document because all of those things were in there. So that has also been taken care of. So just looking at emails I'm getting from other people that are kind of funny too. So that is what I had to share. Hank has said, all things are lessons God would have me learn. This could be one of those things, maybe. What do we learn, the human or the spiritual? And Lynn's giving a thumbs up, I think, maybe to that. Lynn, by the way, says, I did become confused, but it was way before the email from Michael. I heard things about the sanctuary and our lack of discipline and peace. I want to say from my perspective as well, and again, this has been shared with Lynn, that during the two-week conflict, Lynn was, the word that I used was erratic. Lynn was erratic. What I perceived was that in one moment she seemed at peace and happy and, you know, able to discuss things in a clear way. And in the next moment she was very, very angry. It happened very, very fast. And she knows that that was occurring. I talked to her about that. And she gave me a personality read, and I don't know, Lynn, I don't remember what it was, about how she so quickly goes to anger. But I did talk to her about that. So I don't know if it's that which other people observed and then said what they said. I don't know for sure, because Lynn was being a little erratic for a couple weeks when all this stuff was going on. What started my feeling of distrust was the discussion about the sanctuary etiquette in our trustee meeting and saying, well, that's just Lynn's perspective. I felt the discussion about the sanctuary etiquette in the trustee meeting was exactly what the trustees are here to do. And she says, yes, she was changing rapidly at the time. Lynn is not in agreement with, I'm just going to say, Awakening Together as a whole. I don't know how else to word that, which is why she's resigning. You all know that. The way that Awakening Together was set up was to be a team-led organization. There's no person, not me, not the sanctuary director, not Phil, the board of directors. There's no person who calls the shots. We did that on purpose. And what the team decides when they have discussions, what the team decides. Oh, you did not know that. That's funny. You're on the board of directors. Now you know. What the team decides, the entire team is to follow as the word of God. So that means that if the team discusses something about the sanctuary policy, or if the team discusses something about, you know, anything and has a decision, and usually this is happening at the trustee level, and there are about, I think now we have 7 people on the trustees. I'd have to go back and count. We had a resignation recently, but I think we have around 7 people on the trustees. These 7 people have very active discussions, which I generally appreciate. But then they vote, and typically the votes are unanimous. And what they decide, we are all then bound to carry out, to live by. And Lynn is not always happy with the decisions of the team. I perceive it as an opportunity to surrender. I perceive it as an opportunity to let go of self-will. And I also perceive those discussions that we have in the trustee meetings as a wonderful opportunity to listen without ego. Yeah. So again, you guys can see clearly that Lynn also says she disagrees with not revealing our conflicts. It seems dishonest and immoral to me. I genuinely am not sure what she's talking about there. We have discussions. We look at different points of view. But as I mentioned, when we finally get down to the decision, we are usually almost always unanimous. And I perceive the discussions as healthy. I think it's great that everyone speaks what they think. You know, I wouldn't want someone to sit back and not speak up. So, I guess we have around 14 minutes left, and I've shared an awful lot tonight. Some of you maybe have been here for all of it. Some of you maybe only heard a part of it. But what I can do in the next 14 minutes is, Lynn says she believes in no private thoughts and she thinks these secrets separate us. Again, I don't even perceive any secrets. I don't know how else to say that. I guess we could talk to the other trustees and see if they perceive secrets. I don't. Jacqueline, who's also is saying, what secrets? Jay is saying he doesn't perceive any. So, yeah. I suppose the one thing that I have not shared, and I, again, do not intend to, but I will tell you what that is. I'm sitting here searching my mind. Are there secrets? during the 2 weeks when there was a conflict, a couple of people on the member board of trustees did receive what are called oral warnings, which can be the first step in the termination process if it has to go that far. It didn't, and I don't expect it ever will. But there were people who were becoming inappropriate during that week of during those 2 weeks of conflict. And not all of the people who were becoming inappropriate were trustees. But the trustees are bound by a code of ethics. And those who were violating the code of ethics received the oral warnings. But what I won't share, there have been people who think I should publicly say who those people were, but I disagree. I don't think I need to, and I won't. Again, I hope it's left in the past, and I hope that, within the reasonable amount of time, the oral warnings are just erased and go away because it doesn't happen again. Because people saw from the oral warnings that they were coming from the wrong mind, and they make another choice, and that's that, and it's over. The 2 weeks when we were having the conflict, which most of you are completely unaware of, was very difficult from the center. Again, I was receiving all of the emails. Even people who don't know I saw their emails because other people were forwarding them to me. I saw it all. And it would be my wish that people would learn not to be at the whims of the ego. And Sharon is saying it would be a great loss for Awakening Together without Lynn. Lynn will still be here as a member. If she chooses, she can actually still be on the member board of trustees because she's actually a founding trustee, and founding trustees serve 6-year terms. Of course, if she chooses to resign, she can. But she, even when she resigns her position as sanctuary director, she can remain on the trustees if she chooses to, and she will be teaching in the sanctuary. She's already on the new September 1 schedule. My discussion with Lynn when she decided to resign, again, was all about her heart. I don't know if any of you have ever lived in conflict with yourself. Working for an organization that has one set of values when you actually have another set of values can actually be quite painful. And as I mentioned last week, I had more than one discussion with Lynn. I had many. And Lynn continuously told me that her values were out of aligned with Awakening Together's. And this, out of love, is why I support her resignation. I would not want her to stay in conflict with herself. I want her to be aligned with herself, in harmony with herself. And not only that, but I also realize things change. I mean, that's the way it is in form. Things always change. And right now a lot of things are changing because not only do we have Lynn resigning, but we also are going to this new schedule, right? This new reduced schedule. And, you know, a lot of things are changing. And a lot of people don't like change. And a lot of people get very fearful during change. But that doesn't mean that later, after the change is secure and everybody's settled in the new way it is, that they don't go, oh, this is great. Right? It's our own imagination and judgments that fears the change. If we just relax and go with it, we'll see what it turns out to be. And no one knows how it's going to turn out to be. I don't even know how it's going to turn out to be. We're taking it one step at a time. Yeah, Lynn is saying that she started doing the Byron Katie work a couple weeks before the conflict started, and it was that work that showed her, and she says the conflicts, in this case I think she means the inner conflict. When I was looking at my thoughts so thoroughly, I realized that the thoughts I had been believing were not true at all. All right, tell you what. Let me ask again, does anybody have a question for me? We have 8 minutes left. I will tell you how I'm going to post this in case anybody missed part of this meeting and you want to listen to the entire meeting. I'm not going to post it as a 7 steps teaching on ReginaDonAkers.com. Instead, I will post it on the Awakening Together website as a follow-up to last week's member meeting. So if anybody wants to hear everything, it will be there for you tomorrow. Lynn is quoting Gina Lake, "Change is the opportunity for something new to be born and created by you from in the world but not of it," page 121. Yeah, I always see change as the opportunity for something new to be born, whether it's created by me or created by the universe. I prefer, to the best of my ability, to be in the state of following, you know, watching the signs, listening to everybody. I've always felt, I think, at least for a long time, that the best way to lead is by following. If you look for the signs of the direction in which things are changing, you can see them. And then you can follow. And you may appear to lead, but you're following. I think this is also what the Tao Te Ching teaches. All right, Klein, I don't know you. I don't know you as a member of Awakening Together. And this is really for the members. But I'll turn over the mic and see what you have to say. The mic is yours.
Do it. Does that work? Can you hear me? I'm new to the group and I am just trying to study Michael's books. I've only been studying his books for 1 month. So my question to you is, does any of this cause you to question the authenticity of Michael's message? It's really a yes or no. You don't have to elaborate too much because I know we only have a short time, but does any of this roller coaster that's gone on for y'all cause you to question the authenticity of his message, his techniques, etc.?
Thank you, Klein. Welcome to Awakening Together. For me, the answer is no. For me... I will continue with the 7 steps to awakening as my primary path. I will also continue to practice awareness, watching awareness, and the loving consciousness forms of meditation. And I will use his other books kind of as an adjunct to those two primary things, the 7 steps to awakening and meditation. All right, Cindy, the mic is yours.
Thank you. You know what's funny? What's really funny, and I don't mean to get off topic, but, you know, prior to all this, I had typed a disrespectful comment in the room And I didn't mean it to go into the room when Michael was teaching. I think Jay was speaking. And it's actually, you know, me having a private conversation with somebody and being, you know, feeling, I don't know what it was, it was my ego or whatever, but I typed it in there, something like, oh, this sounds like a lot of spiritual speciality going on, or something like that. And what is so funny is that as soon as I might not have even gotten into the room, because I felt so convicted by the whole thing, like, no, this is not what I want to be. This is not who I am. I do not want to be rude and disrespectful to anybody. And it was like this big ego lesson for me, because it was out of my control, and I had no idea whether it was posted in the room or not. And it put me through changes. Oh, my God, so many changes that I even left Pal Talk for a couple weeks because of the shame and the lessons I was learning about it and the humility that I needed to own it. You know, I did not like what I did, what I said. And anyway, so what is funny is that I did send Jay apologizing. He's like, I'm sorry, Cindy, but I'm not sure I know what you're talking about. But anyway, that's kind of like really doesn't have anything to do with it. I knew what I was talking about. I knew my disrespectful comment. But and because of that, I just really didn't want to deal with the room for a while. And then when all this other stuff started happening, I was clueless. So anyway, I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny that my timing is always kind of, you know, whatever. You know, it's like I came back in the room a week ago or something, and last week actually, that Sunday, and I really didn't have any idea that there was misunderstanding. So I just kind of, from my own little selfish perspective, it's just interesting that I had gone through what I went through on my own and not knowing that there was other stuff going on. Anyway, I'm going to let go of the mic. Okay. Thanks, guys. And God bless you all. I just think we're all, you know, this is like, we are one, right? So we're all, there's a big lesson here, right? That's how I'm seeing it. We're all one. Okay. I'm going to let go of the mic.
Yeah, Cindy, I agree with all of that. You know, sometimes when people are growing, there's what we call growing pains. I intend to be in close communication with you guys as we go through these changes. I've invited everyone to email me. That invitation is still there. You know, whether we lose some people in this process or not, I don't know. But I think that those who stay are staying because they are committed to our purpose and our core values. In fact, one of the signs I read earlier from Michael said something about how, actually it was from Vernon Howard. Michael put it in his email, but it was from Vernon Howard. It was something about how, let me just open that real quick again and read it rather than ruining it. It sounds rude, but it isn't meant to be rude. Every person who leaves this class raises the level of this class. Every person who leaves this class raises the level of this class, which means if we're joined together in a specific purpose and core values, and some leave because they really aren't bought into that, and we now have a smaller group of people, but they are, that's actually a very good thing, right? So we'll see what happens as we go through this change. But I think there will still be a very committed group of people here and very sincere group of people here. And I'm very excited to be a part of that with you. And now it's time for me to let go of the mic. Carrie's up next. Bye.